Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Unknown Zone. This is the talk show about the unusual. I'm your host, Dave Turco, with co-host Judy Sellens. We have an interesting show for you tonight. It's about animal mutilations, and then we're going to jump to ancient civilizations, particularly information about a 200,000-year-old civilization in South Africa. But we'll start off with the animal mutilations and give you an update. You know, you might not read about it in the news anymore. I remember years ago, Judy, they used to make the news, you know, the national news. Remember that?
Absolutely.
In the 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it was always on.
Yeah. Like a lot of things, I don't know if it gets debunked or they don't, whatever, you know, they just, it goes on. It is a continued mystery. This has been going on actually for probably thousands of years, because I finally found out that Native Americans have an oral, they know all about these animal mutilations and say, as long as they know, they've been going on and they're not doing it. So just like Bigfoot or whatever, the Europeans got here and they're like talking about the same thing. Same thing with these animal mutilations. It's bizarre. It's still a true unknown, though there is a lot of information. And again, like Judy and I like to point out, almost nothing that happens is unrelated, and especially when it comes to the paranormal. It sounds odd. It sounds like a movie or a TV show, but it's true. There's something that happens is either it's a dimensional thing or these portals that open up, and all of these things are related. Whoever is behind these animal mutilations. The other thing is they used to be called cattle mutilations. It's beyond that, and unfortunately, too, it's not only does it hit wild animals and captive animals like cattle, horses, sheep, dogs, cats. Well, it's just almost nothing is spared.
No.
All sorts of things. We're not talking about – we can
but
rule
the animal
out,
ones, they just really started just a number of years ago. I mean, as far as the cats and dogs and that.
Yeah, as far as
you
the
never
cats,
heard about cats and
no.
dogs before.
Right. That seems to be, I agree with you. That's a huge uptick. I don't know how these things are because a lot of the sheep, a lot of the cattle, the horses, whatever, tend to be in rural areas across the world.
Mm-hmm.
The cats and dogs are not.
Mm-hmm.
And when people find things like squirrels and other foxes, it's not because they're in some rural area that nobody would ever find. These are actually in towns. How is this happening?
Yeah.
And this does marry into the missing people that we've talked about on
right.
the show, and it ties right in with it. These bloodless, lace-like mutilations seem to tie in with, they call it missing 411. This David Paulides has devoted basically his life. He's written more than one book now on this. And he has focused on areas where it's the most common. It's actually chilling.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, we think of it as, like you know, we've talked about many times before, as being animal mutilations. But when it gets right down to it, there's a number, and it's rising again right now. There's been more reports on it, of human mutilations going
yes.
on.
Yeah.
And these human
yeah.
mutilations are identical to the animal mutilations as far as taking sex organs or sensory organs or
yep.
or whatever. But they're doing the exact same thing that they have been doing for, God, generations at least, mm-hmm. on taking animals and doing that to them. And it's all over the – I mean, basically, it's just all over the world. And – I mean, you've got them going on. Supposedly, there have been reports in Russia. There have been reports in Egypt. As a matter of fact, they found a report of a B-52 aircraft, and when it was over in Egypt, and when they went to see you know, what was going on with it, they looked and the crew was still trapped or strapped into their seats inside that plane, but they had been mutilated in the same fashion as they said as most cow reports have been. And then, I mean, then you get into all of these other ones, and yeah, literally, they're just mutilating. And I got thinking, well, it's the Middle East. Maybe they're getting even with whatever and mutilating people. But there was no blood.
Right.
You're talking about these three guys, and if you're cutting off, you know, or cutting up and cutting off different parts of their bodies, especially genitals and stuff, they bleed, you know, you're going to have blood. And there's
right.
no blood. And it's the same thing with these cattle and stuff. When they find these bodies, whether they're human or whether they're animal, there's no footprints around them. They actually look like they've been dropped a great distance.
Correct.
They have an indentation. Their bodies actually will make an indentation in the ground. And the side that's on the ground that lands usually has broken bones. And those bones had to break on the landing after being thrown out of whatever kind of aircraft or whatever they were in. So you have that going on, and you have also, you know, this report of these black helicopters, and you have reports of UFOs. You have reports of these globe-like lights floating around, zipping around all over the place. They're the same kinds of things that they see when these crop circles are made.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
They're literally the same things that's being reported with crop circles. So, yeah, you get into it, and then when you realize it, I mean, it's been going on, even in Britain there's been reports of it. So, I mean, it's everywhere. There was one in my good old home state of Idaho, and the mutilated and nude body of a young man was found in a wilderness area in the same fashion as a mutilated cow would be.
Mm-hmm.
The genitals had been removed. The lips were removed. An ear was missing. Noticeable lack of blood.
Yeah.
It just goes on and on and on. And basically, it looks like they're all really, they have a lot in common. I guess that's what you have to say with it, because are these aliens that are doing this? Are these possibly, you know, even our military doing it? But why would they do it?
You know? I'm not saying that the military isn't involved in some way. I don't believe that they're doing it. If they are, it's just to, like, mimic it for whatever reason and throw some sort of monkey wrench into it to throw people off the scent. The reason I say that, Judy, is because we know from the Native Americans that this has been going on for thousands of years. I don't know about the people, but as far as animal mutilations go. The other thing about animal mutilations that makes it seem like it can't just be humans is because, you know, you can... They've done this before. In some of these like history show channel shows where they're trying to prove whatever, you know, like nobody's ever found a Bigfoot carcass, that sort of thing. So therefore, there's no Bigfoot. Well,
yeah.
If somebody like yourself that grew up a lot in the wilderness, mine was not the big broad, you know, big sky country out west. But right here in New England, which is mostly forest, and I grew up in the woods, as I call it. That's what I did. I played in the woods behind my house, which was pretty extensive. You almost never came across any dead bodies. Occasionally a bird, maybe. Things don't last long because of the way nature works. Maggots will take it over. Other animal scavengers of many types. Nature takes care of it. It cleans it up real quickly. Now, as far as something like... I remember they took this deer carcass and just chucked it. And they tied it down, rather, to these trees, or between trees, right? So it couldn't be pulled away. A few large animals did eat some of it, but most of it was smaller animals and basically insects, you know, like maggots or whatever. In 1 week's time, there was almost no trace of this deer.
Mm-hmm.
It does not take long. Okay. As far as, on the other hand, these types of mutilations, oh, they're there. I don't know. They don't really decay like a normal animal.
No, they
because
don't. Other animals don't want to get even near them.
Nothing will go near it.
So the scavengers won't even go near them.
Scavengers won't go near them. You have the other, for instance, say it was a cow or sheep. The other flock animals won't go near that. Now, if anybody who's been around animals will know that if an animal is injured, other ones try to help out. They do something. Or if they're dead, they mourn it or they nudge it to try
they
to
at least
it.
Come up and sniff them and see if they're all right.
Yeah, they do something.
You know?
They won't,
even get near because usually when these happen, there'll be like a big dirt ring around them.
Correct.
And they won't step on that dirt ring.
Mm-hmm.
They won't get near them.
No. No, there is something absolutely otherworldly that is going on. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just part of it. There's just one of many things that's anomalous about these things. The sheriffs will tell you, the veterinarians will tell you, but again, like everything in our mixed up upside down world of political correctness or whatever, it's not so much political correctness. There's this idea about there's nothing out there. This is just, there's a third dimension. There's nobody else. It's just, all this is made up. It's a hoax or it's a prank. They know full well it is not. But for whatever reason, the government will never, ever, 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 ever admit there's any kind of higher intelligent life out there, evil or positive. They just won't do it, even though there's overwhelming evidence that there are. And I just want to bring this one up, Judy, because you know a lot of things on TV shows, they talk about missing people and the number of missing people in America. Okay, it's a humongous number. This is this guy, like I say, David Paulides, missing 911. It's extremely informative, if not gruesome and scary. However, it's better to be armed with knowledge, okay? This guy's amazing because he has put together, it's not a story. This is not a work of fiction. He has gotten government statistics, okay? Whether it's the FBI, I mean, the U.S. government keeps track of this stuff. According to the FBI, in the year 2016, there were 647,435 missing people in the U.S. of all races. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Slightly more males, but it's almost split down the middle, even males to females. It's like about 325,000 males and females. And it breaks down from there. I won't even get into all the other things that go into it. However, most of these cases do fall into the categories of runaways. Troubled people.
Yeah.
It could be all sorts of things. And a lot of times abductions within families, like a father in a divorce case takes the kids and goes off to Mexico or something like that or whatever. It's only about according to David Paulides, 0.5%. But however, now let's do the math. 1% of 647,435 is about 6,500 people.
Mm-hmm.
Half of that, 0.5%, still gives you over about 3,200 people. That's just in America. This is just the United States. Over 3,200 Americans go missing in a mysterious way that is not a runaway, that is not a drug case, it's not prostitution, it's not some young kid running away from home, it's not an Alzheimer's patient leaving the ward. It's not, you know, any of these other things that make up these categories. None of it. These are complete mysteries of healthy, normal people. And most of these people go missing around a body of water. That means the East Coast, West Coast of the U.S. and the Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And they also go missing from mostly rural areas like parks, I think Yosemite is the number one place where people simply go missing. Now, this is the thing. A fair amount of these bodies end up show up again. Let's take a national park. When people go missing from there, and we've talked about this before, you get the police, fire departments, rescue departments, regular people, family members, whatever, getting together and combing the area. And they call it combing for a reason. You get real close to each other, and then you go out in a grid and you look for this person, assuming they're dead or alive, whatever, but so you don't miss them.
Mm-hmm.
What is one of the most chilling parts of this, other than what happens, what the bodies look like once they're found, is the fact that the bodies will show up, whether it's in like shallow water or in briars or, you know, undergrowth or whatever. Those areas had been searched before, the exact area, and the body was not there. They know the body was not there. Also, mm-hmm. they could tell by, because you know how ME can, the medical examiner can tell how long a body's been in water, how long it's decayed, that sort of thing. Assuming it wasn't covered in lime or wasn't covered or in a freezer or something like that. There is a decay rate to the human body. Also, the ones found in water, the number of times they are found in almost impossible places as well that they couldn't have gotten to because there was like no scratches on their body, yet mm-hmm. they're in this area where you couldn't really even get to. Or in they're in water, and they know that there's no water in their lungs. And similar to the animals that have been dropped from a high place, there are physical, you know, interior wounds that show the body has been traumatized by a basically being dropped from a high distance.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the same. And then, like you said at the top about what the animal mutilations, these people quite often are found with these precision-like removal of internal organs from anything from the eyes, tongue, ears, to the genitals, as gruesome and perverted as that sounds, they're doing it. It's freakish, and this is going on. Over 3,000 Americans a year, this is happening to.
Well, you know, the same thing as when they bore out the cattle's
mm-hmm.
anus and stuff.
Yep.
The same thing that they do with humans.
Correct.
I literally bore. They take something and it bores it right out, and so there's very little difference when it gets right down to it as to what's being done from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like you think, well, you know, I could see some of these warped people doing it to animals and torturing animals and stuff, but I guess the same kind of. You could actually say the same kind of thing doesn't sound so illogical to happen to humans, but it just, when I was reading it and going through all these things, and it's like, wow, you know, we talked about this a number of years ago.
Yep.
And nothing's changed.
Mm-mm.
And it doesn't look like anybody's out there trying to stop it.
Mm-mm. No.
It's like, oh, well, that's what happens, you know, kind of attitude.
Oh, no. There is something going on out there way beyond the ability of local law enforcement to handle. And they just let it ride, just as long as it stays a small level. But again,
mm-hmm.
what does this all mean? Especially in light of the fact that Native Americans claim that these sorts of mutilations – I didn't hear them talk about human mutilations, but animal mutilations at the minimum have been going on ever since they've known. And they continue to go on. And Judith, we found that theme before too, just like with whether it's UFOs or whatever. When people say, oh, the first UFO started in 1947. No, it didn't. Alien ships have been seen ever since human beings have been here. And that there may be a good reason for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the Bible is just full of stories.
The Bible's full of that.
You know, different sightings of these things and these different beings that came down out of these spinning wheels. And they didn't explain it, say, oh, I saw a UFO, because back in those days, they didn't know what the word UFO was.
Mm-hmm.
But they tried to explain to you the same way as they in a way that they could understand it. And so they would say they saw chariots of fire in the sky because these things were moving, zipping all over the place. And they would say, oh, you know, we saw wheels of that emitted smoke and had bright lights and stuff on them, and then a ladder came out, and these beings came out of the ladder and came down and stayed among man.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, wake up and smell the coffee. This stuff isn't just something that's happened recently. Mm-hmm. It's been going on for a very, I mean, since the beginning of Earth, I think. All this has been going on.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. This idea that the Earth is just this little planet winging its way through the universe, and we're the only thing out there. Nothing's ever been here.
And it's only 6,000 years old.
Oh, yeah. This is all insanity.
It's like, so how do they figure coal? If you can figure that the Earth is 6,000 years old. And then they found all this coal, and like the program that we did on it that was so fascinating, they found that there were things inside the coal. When they did these big coal mines and went inside, they'd take down a big chunk of coal, and when it would break open, there would be like utensils in there that were made of iron.
Yeah,
and there would be all kinds of things. Well, how would it get into the coal if it was only created 1,000 years ago or something?
Oh, correct. There are many, many cases of this. Obviously, intelligent-made artifacts in rocks, coal, all sorts of things that are impossible, meaning it completely blows away this very flawed modern thinking of humanity, this crazy idea of how we supposedly evolved. None of it actually makes any sense whatsoever. But there's actual overwhelming evidence which indicates human beings at some level, whether they were earthlings, native, or whatever, it doesn't really matter. There was intelligent life here as long as we can possibly know. That there's been any life at all that's been on Earth, there's been higher intelligence the whole time. Whether it's human beings that we are in a continuum, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I do know, you know, life goes through cycles and whatever, but there's also, like, as you were saying, I mean, the thing, just talk to the Native Americans or, like, read the Bible. This has been going on as long as humans have been able to record history.
Mm-hmm.
There is stuff out there. The rock drawings, those aren't just some fanciful imagination. When you have people that are completely unrelated in different continents, chiseling or however they put stuff onto stone, painted on, whatever, they can draw animals extremely clearly or human figures. We know exactly what they are. And yet, then there are these so-called fanciful figures. They're aliens, or non-humans anyway, non-human hominoids. Call them whatever you want. Exact same thing in Australia as Arizona. How can that be?
Yeah.
They had no contact with each other. Also in Europe, also in Asia. It's all over the place, folks. For whatever reason, again, I can't speak for the government. I've never been part of the government, U.S. or any other country's government. I don't know why they take the tack they do, because like I say, even if you're not interested in it, it doesn't really matter. There are a lot of things I'm not interested in. I'm not going to deny that they don't exist. But I can just tell you, just from the research that we have done, we live in a multidimensional universe. There is flow, always, meaning every way you could imagine, diagonal, horizontal, forward, backward. Parallel universes, different dimensions, forward and backward in time, all of it's happening. All of it. It doesn't, but I mean, not in a huge way in that you have to see people walking in and out of your life. But guess what? Over 3,000 Americans walk in and out of your life every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a runaway. These are things where people are having interactions with some other form of intelligence that's doing absolutely nasty experimentation on us. The thing is, Judy, after thousands of years, what does it mean? I mean, if it were from our standpoint, like a scientific experiment to get DNA, to get a uterus to grow.
Well, think by this time they'd have enough of it.
Not only enough of it.
Or are they watching us because whatever they turned into, they're concerned and they want to watch what's going on with our DNA as it changes. Because if you remember, this is supposed to be the level that the Native Americans have said that our DNA will start to change. Well, when they've been studying DNA, they do find that there's a change in people's DNA. Some of the DNA today actually has these little added, I don't even know if you'd call them just little blobs to them, but they know that they're changing, and they don't understand why they're changing. Well, maybe they should go back and kind of research what these, you know, these people have been saying for a long time.
Yeah, lots we still don't understand about DNA, period. But, I don't know. I mean, we're able to analyze somebody's DNA. I've had it done for myself more than one occasion. They come up with the same result. So I know that they know what they're doing. If we can do this, ET could do it too. I think there's some level of terror going on. Certainly complete disregard and lack of respect for whatever being. Well, I don't even know why they're throwing them back, literally. It's like they take them for a scientific experiment and literally just discard the body, just thumping it back from where it came. I mean, it's bizarre. Why bother? I mean, I still can't, especially given what they're doing, like tongues, eyes. Once they've cored it out of a body, it's no longer really, what would you do with it?
Well, see, I think what they're doing is they're studying them to see, you know, how they actually function, if they're functioning better, if they're functioning worse, and if so, then what's affecting them, that kind of a thing. Maybe it's like,
I guess.
You know, just to see what's happening to what's, you know, our bodies and what's going on with us and everything, because I would imagine that.
Yeah, but the curious thing.
There is something going on with, I mean,
yeah, but there,
just diseases.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is, even though I don't believe in evolution the way it is explained in the so-called Darwin theory, where the entire population has to all evolve at the same time, how could that even happen? But I mean, again, I would say, show me one example when this has ever happened. And I'll say, oh, it takes thousands of years. Well, whatever. So this is the thing. But there's no evolution with this. I mean, sometimes it peaks, sometimes it wanes a little bit, but it's always going on. After thousands of years, in a very short period of time, we went from not even knowing there was DNA to discovering there's DNA to now that we can do it by just, it used to have to scrub the inside of your cheek. Now you just use some spittle. And from that, they got all your DNA.
Yeah, right.
So they don't have to kill anybody, but they're doing that. They could tell exactly what's going on in our body from our DNA. They're coarsely, crudely, in a sense, taking body parts and then dumping the rest of the body unceremoniously, sort of where it came from, but literally just dropping them. And
oh,
they're
sure.
Dead.
I mean, it's like the cattle and whatever other animals that they're taking, and they don't even, I mean, they could take the meat, and they're evidently not meat eaters, or they would be taking the meat along with all the other parts that they need. You'd never get the animal back, and probably a rancher or a farmer would say, well, you know, coyotes got them, or whatever. They wouldn't have even thought anything of this, but when they bring them back, it's like a slap in the face of those farmers by dropping them down and leaving them like, hey, see if you can figure this out. And then they're out there calling, you know, the state vets to come take a look and see if they can figure out what happened. And they can't figure it out. They've never seen anything like these cattle mutilations. It's not a normal disease process that's going on with the animals, and it's certainly not done by wolves or coyotes or something. Mm-hmm. There's no rip marks in the tissues at all. These are cut as if they're cut with a really fine laser that just goes through. There's no blood anywhere, and so.
And let me just tell you,
even today, if you had the very best doctor in the world, and he was going to work with lasers, and they do all the time now in surgeries.
Yep.
I'm telling you that no matter how hard he try, he's going to leave blood somewhere on that OR table.
Sure.
Or whatever he's doing, no matter how good he is and how good his hands are, he's going to leave spots of blood somewhere. When you look at these animals, and I saw one yesterday that was a heifer, and her entire udder had been just surgically removed with, had to be a laser, but not a drop of discoloring on her fur at all, and she was lightly colored around her belly. There wasn't a spot of anything that would even look like a drop of blood or anything. It was
right.
Perfectly clean.
And I also want to say that in the analysis of these attacks, I mean, anybody can tell, anybody who knows anything can tell when it's been a predator by the way the attack was. And there's a lot of telltale signs, claw marks, tooth marks, around the neck, broken legs, whatever it is, if it's a canid or a feline or whatever, okay? The other thing is, you can also do a DNA analysis of the wound and find, say, saliva from a mountain lion or a bear or whatever it could be. That's not what these cases are.
They absolutely know that they're not done by another animal.
No, they're not.
I read a whole thing on a place in New York. Let me see if I can pop that one up. I found it fascinating because it was a zoo up there in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And they went in, let me see, it was Flushing Meadows Zoo. It's 10 miles from Manhattan on Long Island and in the borough of Queens. I mean, these are all places that are built up.
Yeah, this is where the U.S. Open takes place, Flushing Meadows in New York, the tennis tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's big.
So,
it's when, where the Mets are.
So they said they started, what used to start out as a swampy area, and then, of course, it got more and more involved and more built up and all that. But the zoo opened in 1968, and on the grounds of the 1964 and 65 World's Fair, and since its opening, the UFO sightings have been reported with sudden disappearance of animals. All at one time, all the animals disappeared from the zoo. That's impossible. I mean, that would be impossible. Man couldn't possibly accomplish that.
You're such a dunning.
So they all
promise.
Disappeared. They go out there. There's no animals in any of the pens. And later on down the road, they find animals not outside of the pen, but they found the animals that were all back in their pens.
Wow.
And in 1977, the radio station was notified by zoo workers of a major UFO sighting. And I guess it's Cassina Park, Kissena Park.
Mm-hmm.
Also, two nights of sightings in 1987, but there were no mutilations or deaths reported in that. But some of the animals were just missing. And then, let's see, the zoo was finally, the workers were silenced, and the zoo was closed with no explanation, and no trespassing signs were placed at entrances and around the area. And so, but to have your entire zoo go empty.
I know.
And they had staff around still working. I mean, it was an evening thing, but they still had, you know, they have guards and people around there in case an animal gets out or whatever. And they go out and they look in the pens and it's like, where are the animals? And they kept walking around looking. It's like, there are no animals in the zoo. They're gone. So they go in and report this. And when they go back out a while later with the owner, I guess the owners of the zoo and all them showed up. When they go back out, the animals are standing there in their pens. But some of them were loose running around. But it looked like...
That's bizarre.
Oh, the whole thing was bizarre. And I'm thinking, that's a major city zoo. If they were just running around the neighborhood, you don't think they would have been, somebody, you know, in the neighborhood would have called the cops and said, hey, you know what, I got an elephant in my backyard, you know, kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But they were gone. And then when they came back, didn't look like anything harmed them, but something seemed to take them. They were not in the area around the zoo. These guys went out and looked everywhere, couldn't find these animals. And then when they did get a hold of them, they did examine them all to make sure they were all right, and none of them were harmed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's just one of the crazy things that I was reading on this. You know, it was bad enough for the animal and the human mutilations, but to get down to how can you make a whole zoo disappear?
That's,
I don't know,
unbelievable.
And the pens were locked.
What year did this happen?
Oh, God, this was back in the 70s. It was 77.
Wow.
And they said that they couldn't get over it because, you know, when they went out, they expected to see pen gates open and locks removed or whatever. No, they were still locked. But there weren't any animals in those cages. And it's amazing because a lot of the animals that would be in a zoo would be dangerous. You know, they wouldn't just be something that wouldn't attack other animals. You'd think they would. But for some reason, no. So I thought that was, I'm kind of like, that's got to be crazy. It's like the police have, you know, checked on all this.
Yeah, just as an aside, the Flushing Meadows Zoo actually opened in the World's Fair. It was all part of that. Yeah. Wild.
Yeah. It's just crazy. So, I mean, when these things happen, to me, when they return these dead animals, like I said, to these ranchers and stuff who work so hard to just, you know, keep going with livestock and everything else. And then they go out and some of these ranchers, if they've been hit once or twice, they've been hit a half dozen times or more. And it always tends to be the same ranches that get hit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another odd thing, I think. But they tend to go after the same poor buggers. And then it's like, oh, let's throw it back down there and, you know, say, on you, we killed your cow. Because each cow, I mean, just a young heifer is going to be worth at least $1,000. And then you figure with all the calves that she can produce, she's worth, you know, at least probably $10,000 in her lifetime. And so you figure when you keep losing them one after another, you're losing a lot of money. But I guess they don't care because they probably don't have money. Maybe they have little shiny credit cards.
One of the things, Judy, was the fact that during that time period, I believe, when those animals went missing from that zoo in Flushing Meadows, New York, there were a lot of UFO sightings at the time.
Yes, there were. As a matter of fact, there were a number of them right in that area.
Yeah.
And they had been, that, you know, what's really odd is that New York gets an awful lot of UFO sightings.
Yes, they do.
And they've had them in New Jersey and stuff too, but New York seems to really, really get their share of UFOs. I mean, look at how many of them did. Remember that other park that they had? It was downtown or something. I don't know if that was New York or New Jersey. But they had something land in their park, and then they go out and to check it out and everything, and there's this thing sitting in their park, and I don't think they ever knew exactly what it was, but it just up and took off and disappeared.
It's
They've had
wild.
Tons of these reports.
Yeah. That's
so
really
So they must
weird.
Like the New York. New York, New York. I don't know. But, you know, I thought some of these things were just really interesting when you get into this stuff. And then you think of, geez, you wonder if the early man, what they saw of these things. They must
yeah.
have seen them.
Well, in reading this thing about the zoo, I just pulled it up. And one of the things was, this was in 1987, green and white balls of light that formed into all sorts of shapes hovered directly
yep.
above the zoo and caused the animals to become greatly disturbed. On and on and on, it goes from there. So, again, this is when we say, folks, that these phenomena are interrelated.
Mm-hmm.
There's some sort of weird multidimensional thing going on where these... Well, I mean, it's always possible that some of them are from this dimension, but I think we would see them more often. Whenever they become
mm-hmm.
visible, I think something is happens, something's just right. Maybe it's sometimes even just this interplay of other dimensions. We've talked about that before, when different dimensions sort of collide. Not to mention, we've even talked about in the physical universe that, what is it? We think we're from the Milky Way galaxy, but it's actually the Sagittarius galaxy. That
yeah.
apparently the Sagittarius galaxy is actually going through the Milky Way and kind of being absorbed into it. We're actually, now they think we're actually originally from that. I mean, on and on. Whatever we've been told is far from the truth. We're just so far from it. Like I say, with a lot of things, there's really not much that we know definitively. And very little about the Earth, let alone our own history.
Mm.
Absolutely bizarre. But
couldn't you see, I mean, if this was an interdimensional kind of thing, couldn't you see the zoo that's in the other dimension? Everybody's out there looking at the animals in the zoo, and the next thing they know, there's twice as many.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they're gone, and they're back to the same amount again because they're all back in their own zoo.
Yep.
I mean, it could have happened,
yeah.
something like that. They could have gone into a different dimension.
Yep. Absolutely.
And that's probably what happened to them. Where else would they have gone?
And you know, my beloved, just a couple more seconds on this before we go into our other mystery of ancient civilizations, is that it just reminds me of some of these sci-fi episodes where, like, whether it's Twilight Zone or whatever, when you're fiddling with these dimensions, sometimes you don't come back right.
Mm-hmm.
Or like something is like a car stuck halfway into a rock, or people are. One of the things that happened was a discovery of a St. Bernard dog that was found in Queens, New York, in a park, turned inside out in the
1980s. Oh, I've read this, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the dog
again,
was inside out.
All the dogs, missing dogs and cats that end up being found mutilated. There were even cattle mutilations in Nassau and Suffolk counties in the 1980s to the present day on Long Island. For folks that don't know, if you're not from this area, there's New York City is concrete jungle, although they do have Central Park, which is lovely. But other than that, Nassau concrete jungle, when you get into Long Island, and Flushing is at the tip of the western tip of it, basically, it becomes very much like New England. And it's a lot of, aside from the rich people in their fabulous houses, trees, more than parks, even forests and woods. It's pretty amazing. Long Island is really a neat place. All sorts of things going on out there, and not all that's good. It's wild and it's wild and disturbing. Okay,
yeah.
Something that's really cool. And thank God for science. And that is, with science, with satellite imagery, Google Earth, because you can, folks, you can even find this stuff on Google Earth. There's Michael Tellinger of South Africa. He has been one of the foremost researchers in ancient origins of man and looking for ancient civilizations. Some, with the use of satellite imagery, these weird stone circles were found. And people, with the use of them, you know, going into the desert where nobody's been for a long, long time, they found a lot of these places. And they've looked at them, and because most of it's rock, they haven't really been able to date them, but now they can through looking at the decay of dolomite. That decays at a specific rate. They're coming up with up to 200,000 years old that some of these so-called stone circles were made. But they seem to actually be more of a foundation for probably buildings. Some of these things, Judith, I don't know if you saw any pictures of it, but instead of just being like in the desert with some rocks that are sort of making a circle that people thought were like a cattle or animal corral where you would, you know, keep some animals in. No, some of these things look very much like modern day walls. They are stone walls made up of smaller stones, but, you know, big ones, like, I don't know what they'd weigh, probably like 25 pounds, 30, 50 pounds each, you know, good size, like the size of a football, all stacked together. And it looks like a modern day wall that Judy and I live in New England, home of the stone walls. I mean, we have nothing but stone walls here. And for good reason, we live in a very rocky area. And that's what farmers made use of to, delineate boundary lines back in colonial times and stuff like that. This is something different. These things date to 200,000 years old, these stone walls. And these things are like 5 feet high, 3 feet wide. So it's not just some little itsy-bitsy thing when they got on the ground and went to these things that they found with satellite imagery. Absolutely amazing stuff. Of course, that far back, who knows who they really were. We assume since it was Africa, were they, you know, black African, sub-Saharan black African? Guess what they found? There's also etchings in these, you know, hieroglyphs or whatever. You know that symbol for the Ankh, A-N-K-H, or whatever it is, that thing, that Egyptian Ankh? Ankh, or whatever, I think it's called, pronounced Ankh. The exact same symbolism was found that that the Egyptians had. We thought the Egyptians were ancient at 6,000 years old.
Right, yeah.
Well, these people, nearly 200,000 years before that, already were drawing that symbol. So what's that? So they're saying they can't make a connection because of the vast time difference and the fact that we had, you know, the glaciations, we had the ice ages. Not that it affected Africa so much, but it did affect, you know, the continent due to shifting water levels, climate, stuff like that, would have been affected. I don't know. I've never, like I said, I've never believed that human beings are as recent as what they talk about.
No,
I believe we're much
impossible.
More ancient.
Mm-hmm.
So this is beyond fascinating stuff. Just the dates alone show that, you know, these people weren't hunters and gatherers. They had a civilization in South Africa. And the remnants are there. It's just amazing. 200,000 years.
It's just amazing that it's still there.
Yeah, because, like I say, a lot of people don't know, the Great Pyramids were covered with limestone. The limestone's still there, but just not on the pyramids. They basically make up the housing in Cairo. That's
yeah,
what they
right.
They did.
They
simply,
used it for other things. Well, that's the same thing when they did, you know, with the different buildings and stuff in Rome. Just, I mean, and that's not even that old. But still, they, you know, they just went and they would take buildings and they would just take the marble off of them. And
sure.
Use them for other buildings, you know. As a building got older or whatever, they could take it.
Yeah, we still do that today. When, like, some old barn or old house is going to, people go in and salvage, you know, and again, being from New England, you can find really great floorboarding, even if it's 300 years old. You don't get those like they had back then.
No, you can't get that wide board anymore.
You get these wide, thick boards. It's still fantastic.
Yeah.
But the house is pretty much shot, so... You know, they take these things, and that's what people do. It's like, it's already there. I don't have to dig up any rocks. There's been a wall. Take it. You know, build a house out of it. Oh, there are perfectly cut limestone. Here are these building blocks. Why do it? They're there. They took it from the pyramids. That's the outer coating. That's what they did. That makes sense, especially given, you know, whoever really built the pyramids. Those were thousands and thousands of years. Those people are gone. That civilization came and went. New ones take its place. They're like, well, they don't care. They just take it and made houses out of it in Cairo. What became Cairo? Yeah, after 200,000 years, Judy, it's still there.
Yes.
It's absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just leaves you speechless. But clearly, there were intelligent people putting together something.
These are the same ones, right, that had all the gold mines.
Correct. See, this
is again mining for gold at the time.
Correct.
And it's like, you know how wealthy they should have been with all that gold. But, you know, back in those days, I mean, stop and think of how many Native Americans had beautiful gold, you know, jewelry all over them. They didn't think it was, you know, they liked the look of it and they thought they looked good in it and everything, but they had no price put on it.
Well, I think it was a little bit, you know, beyond that. I know they knew the value. They knew that those gold, those metals like gold, platinum, silver were different because they're noble metals and they don't corrode like other ones do. They're soft, so you can't use them really for building materials. But
yeah.
Clearly, if anybody's ever had real gold in their hand, it is gorgeous. There's something about gold that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have it the ridiculous value that we have it, like diamonds, gold, and stuff like that. People kill for that. I really don't think the Native Americans and such did that back then, the ancients. We still know so little about whoever these folks were 200,000 years ago. However, Judy, this gets back into and ties in with UFOs and these ancient alien theories of, I don't really believe that anybody advanced enough to be able to come here either through manipulation of the time-space continuum or a ship advanced enough that it can traverse planetary solar systems in the galaxy would need to have slaves to mine gold for them here on Earth.
Uh-huh.
I doubt it. So, but that's been the theory, is that these aliens came and upgraded whatever humanoids were here that were pretty primitive, let's say equivalent to a great ape or whatever. Not to knock on a great ape, but we're a little bit higher up on the old scale, intellectual-wise and stuff like that, brain capacity-wise. And, you know, use them to mine the gold. Who knows? That is true speculation, but what we do know is those ancient people were near gold mines and were, in fact, mining gold. We know that hundreds of thousands of years ago, someone was mining gold in Africa. To what extent? Why? What reason? Don't know. But somebody was doing that. Again, those aren't hunters and gatherers. There was some purpose to this. And
well, there's
again,
a lot of things that gold can be used for that we find today that they, you know, many years ago never knew that you could use it for those reasons. But maybe, you know, maybe they already knew the reasons why they could use gold for whatever. It was to, you know, to work with different, what we would call machinery or whatever today. But,
Well, Judy, what's interesting about that whole thing is that the ancient Egyptians that we consider ancient, but perfectly modern compared to these folks, used monatomic gold. We know that they did, remember? And that's gold with, it's called monatomic, but that's a misnomer. It's like less than 10 molecules or atoms, I should call it, atoms of gold put together. The gold behaves completely differently than, you know, a piece of gold that you can see.
Mm.
And that has to do with, what was that thing called again? I should know as a chemical engineer. Alchemy and longevity. They used it for health regeneration. Remember, the Egyptians were obsessed with health regeneration and living forever and living longer and all that sort of business. No. Weird stuff. But again, there seems to be a connection to these ancient folks and Egyptians a few thousand years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of wild, but, you know, there's that. And there are archaeologists and astroarchaeologists. And for folks that don't know what that is, it is combines sort of astronomy with archaeology, because it is clear that a lot of the ancient people used astronomy.
Oh, absolutely.
Specifically, right, they looked at the stars, they would map them out in some of the you know, just like in Mexico and in Egypt, you've got Pyramid of the Sun, Pyramid of the Moon, that sort of thing. Everything's laid out on the Giza Plateau, reflecting the Orion's Belt, let alone, I guess, in Memphis in Egypt. That is also maps out a star system, giving us hints to where they're going. A lot of things point to stars, things like that. So you could tell when people made them, because things do shift relative to each other, because all these stars and planets are moving, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're moving away from each other, actually, as it turns out. So it is slightly different. There are programs you can use to tell exactly where each star was in what position in any given year. And they've done this not only to try to date the pyramids, which I believe, at least the Sphinx, goes back probably closer to 30,000 years ago. That also corroborates the idea that these civilizations in South Africa, not just the degradation of dolomite, the rate of that, but through astroarchaeology, dates them again to about, that's when the stone depictions of Orion's Belt match up perfectly, is about 200,000 years ago. It's astounding. 100,000 years ago. Humans have been at this a long time, folks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've been here a long, long time.
Definitely a lot longer than some people are being told. But they've been around for a very, very long time. And, I mean, there was human beings here millions of years ago, or mm-hmm. they wouldn't be in coal. Their objects that they created wouldn't have been in coal. And to create what they created made out of iron, and look at all the jewels and all the different things that were found buried in big chunks of coal. It shows that these people not only had they were civilized people, and they were able to create a lot of different objects. Iron pots have been found in this kind of stuff. I mean, that's not something that cavemen knew how to do. Whether you really want to believe that everybody was just a caveman, I mean, that's up to you. But when it gets down to the real nitty-gritty of it all, there were advanced civilizations many times before. So this is nothing new. So anyway, I hope everybody will take it and take a look at this stuff. I think it's really interesting.
I agree. Love
it. Well, anyway, we're done with our weekly little story of what's really going on. And we'll be with you again next week.
Thanks so much, Judy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Ciao. And if you'd like to look for more animal mutilations, you can always just Google this stuff, of course. But Earth Files with Linda Moultonhow carries a lot of the animal mutilation stories. She's been covering this for almost a good 40 years. Ancient civilizations, I would look into Michael Tellinger's work. There's amazing stuff going on out there. The government doesn't want you to know. Wonder why. Okay, until next week, for Judith Stones, I'm Dave Turco. Enjoy.